Greetings and welcome. Today's clip is going to be a little bit different from those that we've shared in previous weeks. Following a shorter reflection on my part, you'll see a clip from Pastor Randy as he leads us in a time of communion together. Today, as many of you know, is Pentecost Sunday, this day when we typically look forward to gathering together and celebrating communion. Like so many things this year, this day is going to be different. We recognize that they're practicing communion in this way is going to be a bit different as well. But we felt it's important all the same to be able to pause and to remember at this point in the church year. And so we'd invite you to follow along with that as he leads that, but also to pause if you've not yet prepared the elements, bread and cup, and return to the video when you've had a chance to do so. This morning's reading comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. I will read it for you now. These are the commands, decrees, and the laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy a good life, a long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and so that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your hearts and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land filled with a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord's who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Thus far the reading of God's word. What are the things that you do to try to help you remember? I'm always curious and interested to watch when I'm in conversation or in a meeting with people. For myself, it's an old-fashioned hard copy planner that I carry with me. Lots of other people use their phones and have digital calendars maybe, or set reminders or alarms or text themselves or their family members so that they won't forget. Some people have desks that are covered with sticky notes or maybe have a big whiteboard on the wall or a chalkboard where they scribble things on. In a pinch, if we're out, we might write on our hands. Or if we're feeling really old-fashioned, we might tie a string around one of our fingers. Most people need some way of helping them remember, because most people tend to forget sometimes. Today we're wrapping up our series that we've called I Will Not Forget You, reflecting on these themes of God's memory and the life of faith, and I'll be reflecting on the things that we do as people of faith to help us to remember. Our text from Deuteronomy that I've just read was written to a people who, like us, tended to often forget. It's presented as this call for them to remember, to remember the ways in which God had called them to live in that time. It follows, you may know, if you're looking along as you read, the Ten Commandments, which appear in the chapter before. It's this call to remember those and to remember why it was that God had given them those words to live by in that time. Like most people, the people of God needed some ways of helping them to remember, because like most people, they tended to sometimes forget. We see this repeatedly throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. Again and again, the people forgot what the relationship they had with God was supposed to look like. They forgot how they were supposed to live within that, what they were supposed to do and not do as part of that relationship. And so like us, like you and me, they needed ways to help them remember, ways to be reminded to come back to that place where they ought to be with their lives. In the few minutes I'll be taking to share today, I want to reflect on a few of the ways of remembering that we see in this text. These were ways, obviously, that were meant for that time, for that people, but ways that might also be helpful for us as we seek to remember what it means to be in relationship with and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus in a life of obedience. The first is that they were invited to remember God's direction for their lives by meditating on it. These commands are to be on your hearts, we read. Place them on your hearts, they're told. Take them in and internalize them. Repeat them, pray them. We know that this is precisely what ancient Jewish people did with these words. They memorized them and made them into a prayer, this daily prayer that they called the Shema. They came to pray verse 4 and 5 daily, twice daily. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You may know that for many observant Jews today, this remains a practice. They were told in that time to meditate on it, and they memorized it, and they did this so that they could remember it. Not just remember the words of the text, I think, but to remember to live in the way that those texts describes and invited them to live. They sat with God's words and said them over and over. They let them sink down into the deepest parts of themselves, their hearts. And in doing so, they let it become the prayer and the pattern of their lives. They remembered by meditating on them. The second is that they were told to talk about them and to teach them. Impress them on your children, they're told. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. If you want to remember it, they're told to talk about it all the time. Mention it to one another so that you won't forget and so that you'll be accountable for this way that you desire to live in your lives. If it's important to you as a person and to your family and community, have conversation about it. Discuss it, they're told. For the people of Israel, these words that we read in these chapters here capture the very heart of their faith and what a life of faith was meant to look like. We know that when Jesus was asked, he quoted them and twisted them a little bit and summed them up very similarly. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, he said. So they were told to share with one another about what it might mean to live in that way. They're told to talk about it out loud so that it becomes ingrained for them and it becomes intentional so that they can remember. They're told to talk about it and to teach it as a way of remembering. The third is that they had symbols to help remind them, to help them remember. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's unclear whether that was meant for instruction for them to take literally. But we know that from very early on, people did and continued to do so. It became this common practice to fasten a copy of those words, again from verses 4 and 5, the Shema, around one's hands as one prayed, or on one's forehead. And to do the same, attaching copies of those words around by various doors around one's house. Again, for many observants and Orthodox Jews today, these remain practices. They're these visible, physical, tangible reminders about faith and the life of faith. The way that we might maybe hang a cross on our wall or have verses framed in various places on our house. It's the sense of having it always around you, having it set right before you so you don't forget, so that you can remember. Most people need some way of helping them remember because most people tend to sometimes forget. So again, what are the things that you do to try to help you remember? What are the things that you've done or might consider doing to try to help you remember the heart of your faith as followers of Jesus and remember what it might mean, what it means to live in obedience to him? When I was in high school, there was this strange fad of WWJD bracelets. WWJD, for those not familiar with the acronym, stood for What Would Jesus Do? I don't know if any of you remember these. If not, you maybe go look them up. They came in all sorts of colors and patterns. I may have had one at one point. I definitely had friends who had several and would wear them all at once. Like all fads, though, they were short-lived. There's all kinds of reaction and commentary and response. Lots of challenging conversation about whether they really made for a helpful message and a good practice, or instead maybe lent to a guilt-heavy or moralistic understanding of faith. All that being what it was, I think the impulse and intention was something similar to what we see in these verses. Those WWJD bracelets at their best were meant, I think, as a kind of visible, tangible reminder, a way of helping children and young people especially remember what God has done for us in Jesus and what God invites us to do in response. They're this way of trying to remember, the way we might write something down in our planner or post a sticky note on our desk or set an alarm or maybe even tie a string around our finger. Or the way we might wear a wedding ring as a reminder of the commitments that we've made in marriage. Or the way we might meditate on a thing or talk about during the day or bind it to our hands or our foreheads as we read in these verses. Most people need some way of helping them remember because most people sometimes tend to forget. So again, what are the things that you do or you might consider doing to try and help you remember the heart of your faith as followers of Jesus and what it means to live in obedience to him? One of the things that the church has done from the very beginning as a way of remembering is to practice communion, to participate in the Lord's Supper. Jesus, we remember, told his followers to break bread and partake in the cup as a way of remembering. "Do this in remembrance of me," were his words. And I wonder as well if, as a practice, it might involve all of those ways of remembering that we see in this text. Because it involves these symbols, these visible, physical, tangible reminders made from grain and grapes. And it involves something that we talk about and we teach each time we enter into it. And it's something, obviously, that we also meditate on. We take time to reflect and prepare inwardly beforehand, and we pray while we partake. All of these are ways of helping us remember. Our text for today ends by describing another form of remembering as well, another thing for them to remember. I'll end by mentioning it. It's remembering what God has done. The people of Israel are told to remember how God had liberated them from captivity, how God had set them free and set their feet in a place of abundance. To remember how God had provided all that they needed and more. To remember God's gift and God's grace for them. I think it's important to hold on to that as well. Because if our remembering is only about what we ought to do, what we should do and need to be doing, it can become like those WWJD bracelets maybe sometimes became for some people. A kind of grinding and depressing moral reminder, a symbol of a chore we need to do, or a kind of constant nagging symbol of the standards of obedience that ultimately only reflects one half of our faith, the message of our faith. In these verses, we're called to remember and find ways to help us remember both what God has done in extending love and forgiveness and grace, and what we're instructed to go on and do in response, which is exactly what communion helps us to remember as well. What God has done for us in Christ crucified, and what we might do in the life of discipleship that follows. I'll invite you to pray with me before Pastor Randy leads us in that. This is a prayer written by Carolyn Brown, and you'll find it in the order of service we prepared today, for today as well, if you wanted to read along. Please pray with me. Lord God of the universe, we're forgetful people. We forget that you made this world and that we are to care for it and protect it. We forget that you created each of us with wonderful talents and interests to enjoy and to use those in serving others. We forget the rules you have given us for good and happy lives. We forget that we are your people, people with jobs to do. Sometimes we forget on purpose. At other times, we are just so busy or want something so badly that we really do forget. We try to go our own way, do what we want, and make our own plans. Forgive us, in Jesus' name. Another thing we forget is that God, you love us very much. You love us enough to forgive us again and again and again. You love us so much that you lived among us, died and rose again in Jesus of Nazareth. So whatever we forget, God, may we always remember that you love us and forgive us. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning. And as we prepare for this time of communion service, I hope you've had opportunity to prepare your bread and cup. I have mine here in front of me this morning. And we will be partaking of that together after a time of reflection. I've heard from many of you that these days you cannot attend the worship services at the building, and you've been able to instead watch on television or online and in that way participate in worship services of various kinds. I've also heard from quite a number of you saying the words, "But it's not the same." It's not the same when we are at home and watch a service versus being together as a body of Christ and participating in the worship with hymns of faith and songs and praise and prayers and hearing of God's word. When we share the experience of community, we gain a sense of belonging. That when we gather for worship of Jesus, there's that sense of belonging to the body of Christ, which means that we are the church when we are together. We commonly express our Christian faith by going to church, which is usually interpreted as going to a specific building. Yet to be the church of Christ is to be with and to share with other believers in Jesus. So during these days when we cannot worship together, what does it mean for us to express our faith in Jesus? I hold in my hand this morning a spoon, a soup spoon. In many ways, it's just an ordinary soup spoon from our cutlery drawer. Yet it has a unique pattern to it. We have a matching fork, and yet in my mind's eye, it's this spoon that is rather special to me. I see more than just ordinary cutlery. I'm not sure where my mother got this spoon, yet I remember as a young child, I used this spoon to eat soup. And I used this spoon, and I liked this spoon, particularly because it has a deeper scoop to it. Now, to further explain the association with this spoon and my memories as a child, I have to admit, at the time I didn't like borscht. I can hear some of you saying, "Now, what kind of Mennonite child are you that you didn't like borscht?" Well, as a child, I didn't like all that other vegetable stuff in my borscht bowl. And so I literally refused to eat what my mother prepared. And so when my mother made a large part of borscht for our family, she also made a side dish in a small pot of just plain tomato soup. She made it just for me, and I used this spoon to eat it. In my mind's eye, when I see this spoon, I remember the compassion and kindness my mother expressed to me by making me that soup that I ate eagerly. Now, it was years later that I grew to enjoy a good borscht. And in fact, in our home, I'm the one who makes it for our family. I invite you to take a few minutes to look around the room where you are this morning, to look at the ordinary things in your home. And some of those things, I suspect, bring to your mind's eye people in your life or past events that you've been part of, things that those objects are associated with. Recall the mental image of those people and those relationships And in doing so, we rejoin ourselves to those experiences and people of the past. In the Bible, in the New Testament, we read from Luke chapter 24 that Jesus and two of his disciples were walking along the road and discussing things about God and the kingdom. They came to the evening and stopped at an inn and paused to eat a simple meal and rest. There at the table, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And it was in the breaking of the bread that the disciples recognized the stranger they had been with all day as being the risen Lord. They recognized the risen Lord because the night before Jesus died, he also took bread and broke it, giving it to them and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took a cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The bread and the cup that you have prepared are quite likely just ordinary bread and a cup from your home, a part of your everyday life. Yet in your mind's eye, when you hear the words of Jesus, the ordinary becomes the memory of past times, shared of gathering with other Christians to remember, to rejoin yourself with others in remembering what Jesus has done for you. His body, broken in sacrifice to redeem you. His blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. This morning, the bread and the cup, ordinary things from your home, everyday elements, nothing special, except for the words spoken by Jesus, "Do this in remembrance of me." To share the bread and the cup is to relive the life and the work of Jesus, to rejoin yourself with him. And so, eating the bread and drinking the cup, you are invited again to commit yourself to Jesus, to the desire and love for God and for God's people. And so, with a simple meal, there are invisible threads of longing remembrance and hopeful waiting to reappear. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, from the confines of my home, from my longing to be with other believers, remind me again of your care for all your people and for me. You provide for me this bread and this drink. In remembrance, I accept your love in Jesus' name. I rejoin my heart and voice to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you're listening or sharing the service with someone else, as you partake of the bread and the cup, I invite you to acknowledge one another as we do, as fellow believers, those who belong to the community of faith, which is our custom when we share the communion service together. If you're alone, view in your mind's eye, recall, rejoin with the people whom you share faith in Jesus. They may be those at church, they may be neighbors, they may be other family or friends. But in your mind's eye, rejoin yourself with them as together you join yourselves with Christ. Let us partake of the bread. Christ's body, broken for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Remembering Jesus' faith, his teachings, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and promise to return. Christ's body broken for you. And in the same way, Jesus took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And as we remember the sacrifice of Christ, we recall that sense of his renewal of the Holy Spirit's power and strength within us to bring new life. Jesus' blood poured out for you. Thank you for participating in the service this morning at home or wherever you may be this morning. And as we go into the rest of the day, I want to thank Pastor Nick for sharing the message with us this morning, remembering God's unfailing love. And I share these words of blessing. May you remember God who remembers you and who longs for you to have endurance and encouragement for the living of these days, so that together with others you may live with the compassion and kindness in the likeness of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us, and God's blessing of peace be with you. Amen.